you're doing great. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just scared a little bit of what I'm hearing myself say. I want, you know, so most of you in here have children or grandchildren, and you have said to your children or grandchildren when they are wanting something, or if they've been hurt, you've said this phrase to them. Let's pick this. They want to do something really bad. They want to do it, and they're worrying you about it, and they're bothering you about it, and you say to them, nobody trained you to say this. You just learned. You learned how to say this as parents. It's there's no training class that gives you this. We all pick it up. But you say to them, we're not going to do that right now, but we'll do it in a little while. Have you ever said that? Of course you have. Or if you have a child who's hurt and you say, well, it's going to hurt for a little while. You ever said that? Of course you have. So I want to talk to you tonight about what I hope will be a real encouragement to you, because I feel like that sometimes we need to pause and you need to. So this Pastor Mike to you tonight. This is for you, just thinking about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our people who are part of our church, who go through so many different things. I've said to the church many times, you know, we have to be kind to one another because everybody's going through something. And they're not going to necessarily tell everybody, but they're going through something. So tonight I'm going to take you through one of my favorite, this is a personal thing, I want to take you through some of the verses that mean the most to me in my own personal life, because just like you, you know, Pat, myself, our family, we go through things just like everybody else. And so these verses have meant more to me than many others, and I hope that they'll become verses that you can think about. So I'm going to talk about the theme of the little while. The little while. And before I break it all up, and I didn't want it to turn into a Bible study, I want you to hear my heart, and I want you to, you can make your own notes, I hope you will, but I want to give you some passages, and I'm going to read, I want to have you look them up and read them with me, and then I'm just going to make some comments tonight. It's going to be a little different, but I wanted to do this tonight. I really felt led to do this. I want to talk to you about the little while you're in. The little while you're in. And it is a little while. It's not a long while. It's a little while. So, if you have your Bible, we're going to find, first of all, James chapter 4. If you'll find your place there in James chapter 4. James is talking about today and tomorrow. And he reminds us of some very important things that are so practical. Verse 13, come now, you who say, this is James 4, 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Every couple in this room does planning the same way I'm talking about. You talk about today and tomorrow. Today and tomorrow. Today and tomorrow we will, and you can finish the sentence. Today and tomorrow we will, he says, and we will spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. There's the statement. The way that we live, thinking about today and tomorrow. And then we read these very familiar words, but I want you to catch the phrase now. Remember, tonight I'm talking to you about the little while you're in. Yet, you do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears, here it is, for a little while. And then vanishes away. These words are not meant by James to demean our person or who we are or the significance of our life or the importance of being created by God as male and females and the Lord doing what he does in our life to save us. They are a reminder to us all that we live only for a little while. A little while. I'm going to come back and comment on these a little bit more, but I want to read the verses to you, give you this little collection of the little while verses, and then I'll make my comments to you tonight and try to encourage you a little bit. I hope it'll be encouraging. Again, let me read it. James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Now go to 1 Peter, which is the next book, 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, I love 1 Peter, is so unbelievably awesome. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll go back and begin with Peter's blessing of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, this is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. In what? In all that he's just said. Being more precious than gold, which is, excuse me, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, and here it is again, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith being more precious, the proof of your faith, is everybody reading your Bible? The proof that you have faith. In your trouble, the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, I'm going to give you these verses up front, then we'll come back and I want to speak to each of them for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 6, these are Peter's final words to us. Therefore, as followers of Jesus, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing, have this knowledge, that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And now we come to verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And then I want you to go back to, so keep those places somehow in your Bible, however you need to do it, or we'll find them in a minute again. Now I want you to go back to the Gospel of John and read some very amazing words that the Lord Jesus spoke with his disciples before the cross, after having the Passover and the Lord's Supper with them. Jesus began to talk about his death, John 16, beginning in verse 16. And he says, a little while, notice, James and Peter have heard these words before. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, not to Jesus, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. So they were saying, what is this he says? In my Bible, it's in red letters, a little while. We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come, but when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. So, Jesus talks about a little while. So I want you to think about these collections of verses, and let me just make some comments about each of them. Number one, I would say to you tonight, based on, now I'm going to go back and start with James 4:14. And I'm only going to speak about verse 14 to you. Yet, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. I want to talk about, number one, the little while of life. Okay, that's my first point. The little while of life. Why it seems, I hear this from seniors all the time, being one of them now. Where has life gone? Where has life gone? You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Life is a new experience every day. You do not know tonight, church, as smart as you may be, as many days as you may have had a certain way. You know, I say this all the time, and I really am in my old age trying to manage my words better and not just say words to be saying them, but I mean this with all my heart. It's not going to always be like it is today for you or for me. You don't know what tomorrow is. To assume upon that is what James is talking about. The assumption that we can build these sandcastles upon what's going to happen tomorrow. May we hear God's word. This will help you This will not hurt you. This will help you. Life is a new experience every day, and you do not know. We have today, and God willing, we will have tomorrow. But it's not here yet. However you want to count your clock. 24 hours. Life is a new experience every day, and lots of people believe life will always be the same. That's why I also say to you, you're older today than you've ever been. You know, some people woke up the other day and were telling me something. You know what they said? I can't believe how old my kids are. I said, do you know how old you are? You know, here's an amazing thing. Did you know every time you have a birthday, all your kids have a birthday too? But some of us live like we're still in some season of life that long ago is gone. And we think it will always be the same. That leads to the greatest sadness and depression and heartache and pain of so many who live in the disappointment of life because they wake up one day. Any of you ever read the story of Rip Van Winkle? Anybody remember that story? You don't need me to tell you the story, do you? He woke up. Where have I been? My, how the world has changed. Now, if you're resisting my words now, you need to ask yourself, why am I resisting these words from Pastor Mike? It may be your pride and your flesh. You do not know what tomorrow will be like. You don't know. I don't know. It's happened too many times to me as a pastor when the phone call comes in the morning, the noon, and the night about someone, some of our dear people whom we were just talking the other day, and now they're in heaven. You don't know. The second part of James 4:14, so the first point of this is life is a new experience every day. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. By the way, that's good news too. If you're in the midst of the heaviness of life, it's a little while. And then the little whiles come in seasons, and sometimes we learn that the seasons of life have, as God makes it, all of it in His hands, blessings and then also sufferings. But the second part is just as important. Life is just a little while. It is a vapor. You are a vapor. I am a vapor. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while. Your life with your spouse is for a little while. Now, you may be thinking it's been a long while, but it's a little while. We've been talking about that on Sunday mornings in here. About how long people are married and how we need to respond and love one another. Your time with your children and grandchildren, it is a little while. Vapor. No substance to vapor. Blown by the wind. Your work, what you do right now, it's a little while. The relationships you have, they're for the little while. While we're thinking about life's little while, I want you to go back in your Bible to very familiar words, and I'm going to just make a couple of comments because this is the place for these to apply. I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to the very famous words about time that Solomon gives us. Tonight I'm here to encourage you. Vapor's gone fast. Life goes fast. There have been lots of songs written about this theme of life being a little while. There's an appointed time for everything, chapter 3, verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. Now, you who are with me in the study of Daniel, you know how we talked about these words so much, these ancient words about appointed. These are words about planned sovereign purposes. God's planned sovereign purposes for all of time, which we all, by the way, there's not anybody here above time. That's why I always give you a hard time. You're older today than you've ever been. Did you know that you're older today than you've ever been? So God has appointed in time for you to be as old as you are, for your life to be in the circumstances it's in. And there is a time for every event. Your Bible may read season. There may be a season, a time, a season, for every event under heaven. Look at this. Your life is like a vapor. There's the little while of birth and the little while of death. There's the little while of planting and establishing, and then there's the time of uprooting, and there's a time of killing, there's a time of healing, there's a time of tearing down, there's a time of building up. The little whiles. Within the little while of life, there are these times for every event under heaven. And you cannot run from them. You cannot change the purposes of God in time for your life. People try, and they end up in such emotional despair and pain because they don't like the time they're in. There's a time when you weep. There's a time when you laugh. You don't just laugh all the time. And you don't just weep all the time. There's a time when you mourn. There's a time when you dance. There's a time for throwing stones, a time of gathering, a time for embracing, a time for not embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent, a time to speak, time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The little while of life includes us being here tonight at 7:06 on Wednesday night in Dixon, Tennessee. Under God's sovereign purposes, He has here together tonight whom He has chosen to be here. We always come to church and say, where's whoever? I try and come and say, whoever's here is whoever's supposed to be here. I hope more will come. But those things are in the hands of the Lord. Life is a series of short seasons. I hope you remember that. Because when you understand the value of that short season, and it's one of those give birth, plant, heal, build up, you can relish it with all the joy that God gives you. And when it's the other part, you know, when we also remember that Ecclesiastes says the end of a thing is better than the beginning, that sounds completely opposite of our world. But that's God's way. We don't like things to end, do we? We try to prolong it. We try to stretch it out of its time season, make it come over into another. And when people try to stretch something that belongs in one season into another, what sadness comes. Somebody says to me tonight, well, I've been doing this for 30 years, Pastor Mike. That's a long time. It's a little while, my friend. You see, time as God created it is a little while when compared to eternity. This is a little while. The second thing I want you to see is that the little while of life includes the little while of troubles. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I just don't like to be around so-and-so. All they do is talk about their troubles. Well, you know, some people talk about their troubles, but everybody has troubles. Do you know that? Now, some of us have been trained in our family. We don't tell anybody about our troubles. I hate to tell you this. It shows on your face. Even if you don't tell us. So we go now to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. You rejoice in all these wonderful things God has done for you, child of God. You've been born again. You have a living hope. You're waiting for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, resurrection of God's people from the dead, when the coming of Jesus again. We have an inheritance that is ours, reserved in heaven. We're protected by the power of God through faith to a salvation that's coming for us. We talk about Jesus coming again. We've talked about that a lot. And we rejoice in that, even though, there are the words, even though now for a little while. Oh, if I could just go to heaven. But the Lord hasn't permitted that yet. One of Pat and I's dear friends died Monday. She was 99 years old in Bakersfield, California. She was a dear, dear person to us in our young days of ministry. Oh, her and her husband. They didn't put up with a lot with Pat, but they put up with a lot with me. I was just a young preacher. And so, you know, here she is, 99, with her mind all the way to 99. That can be a good thing or a bad thing, you know, when everybody you know is gone. And she said to her daughter-in-law the other day, I'm ready to go to heaven. What a great thing. She's ready. Pastor Mike, 99 years, that's a long time. It's a little while. It's a little while. And all those seasons compounded in Florine's life for year upon year, even the years that we would all say are a waste when she's in assisted living. We don't know these things, folks. These things are beyond us. Who are we to question the wisdom and purposes of God and what He permits in our lives? I'm bringing that point to say to you, look at the phrase in verse 6. You rejoice in these things that are coming. You rejoice in your salvation. You rejoice in all that the Lord's done for you, even though now. Boy, who wants to talk about now? It's really hard. For a little while. Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Life's little while is filled with all kinds of troubles. You know, people will say to me, Pastor Mike, I just wish my life had no trouble. It's not going to happen, friend. I'm sorry to tell you that. Well, if I just really live for Jesus, and if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and if I read my Bible every day, and if I pray, and if I do everything God wants me to do, I won't have any trouble. It's not going to happen, friend. We don't understand the purposes of God, but God allows for His people to endure great suffering. It has always been and it will always be, and the American 21st century church is not exempt from that. We don't get a pass, somehow different from the rest of God's people for all of the ages. Life's little while is filled with troubles. Life's little while of trouble is not permanent. Did you catch that in 1 Peter 5:10? What a great verse. It's often overlooked. After you have suffered for a little while. You think God doesn't know you're suffering tonight? He knows everything about you. He understands your thoughts better than you. before your words are formed on your lips and your tongue, He knows what you will say. He searches us. The Holy Spirit within us, He knows us. The Lord knows what you're going through. After you have suffered for a little while. Lord, how long? A little while. How much more? A little while. Here's God's prayer to you in your pain. A little while. A little while. Well, I don't like it. A little while. After you have suffered a little while, look at this. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself do four things. He will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Can anybody say amen to that? Can anybody say amen to that? I said, the little while of trouble isn't permanent. Life's little while of trouble is not unending. But you know what? Sometimes I say to the Lord when I'm having one of my pity parties, any of you ever have a pity party with the Lord? Just sit around and you groan and moan and you get pitiful. Well, your pastor does. So I always go to Hebrews chapter 12 and I'm reminded that the little while that seems like a long while of trouble is in order that I may gain something. And you know what it's called? Endurance and strength in my faith. Now, let me read it to you. Hebrews 12, you know these words. Some of you could quote it. My son, do not disregard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. For those whom the Lord loves, He lets them do whatever they want. For those whom the Lord loves, He just gives them everything they want. Is that what it says? For whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. I don't like that word. Your kids don't like it. You didn't like it. But for some of you, aren't you glad you had somebody that disciplined you? I'm asking you, aren't you glad? We got to help our parents. Remember, they're not being mean people if they discipline their children. And He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. Did you see it there? There's what the Lord says to me a lot of times when I'm in my moaning moment, pity, rolling around like a preschooler in my trouble. And the Lord says, it is for discipline, Mike, you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Life's little while is for us to wait on God and pray. So in the little while, this is why we learn the disciplines that we talk about here so much as disciples. This is why we discipline ourselves to read the Word of God in the little while of trouble. We pray in the little while of trouble. Why does this blessed book of Hebrews talk about us speaking to our glorious, majestic, living high priest and approaching the throne of grace to find, listen, help and mercy in time of what? Need in the little while. You go to the high priest, the Lord Jesus. Our risen Lord, ascended to heaven, soon to come, above all time and space, who knows your little while, and you go to Him. I want to tell you this. Affliction may be sharp, but it is short when you compare it to eternity. And God disciplines us in the little while of trouble to grow us in holiness. We become more like Jesus through the trouble of pain than through the happiest moments. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, yet to those who have been trained by the little while of trouble, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we've talked about the little while of life. Second, we've talked about the little while of troubles. Now I want to talk just quickly and ask you to turn to Psalm 37:5. I want to talk about the little while of wickedness. You know, we have lots of Christians who don't pray, they hand ring. Do you know what hand ringing is? Do you know what hand ringing is? Look, this is hand ringing. Oh my, what will we do? Oh my, what are we going to do? Have any of you ever been a hand ringer? Boy, in my family, we have hand ringers. I can know when somebody's worked up about something. They got all the millers are all doing this with their hands. And I do it when I preach. I've noticed that. Somebody asked me one day, what are you ringing your hands about? I have no idea. It's just a bad habit. So now you'll all be watching, won't you? It'll be my signal on Sunday mornings when you see me. He's like, okay, he's worked up about something. I think I put the wrong verse here in my old age. Let me just look for just a second here. That's not the verse I want, but here's basically what the gist of it is, and you find this many places in the Psalms, and you find it in the book of Job, and you find it in the book of Isaiah. It's a constant theme, and here's the principle. Wickedness and evil will not go on forever. They're a little while. So people wring their hands and say, oh, what are we going to do in America? What are we going to do? Oh, what's happened to the world? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm old enough to have listened to this. What is it? Yeah, is it 10? 37, 10? Yeah, thanks, Todd. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, giant mansions or impoverished nothing. You'll look for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land. Have you ever heard anybody else say that? Who said that? Who said that? The Beatitudes. The humble shall what? Inherit the earth. It's a beatitude of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, my friend, in the little while of troubles and the absolute what appears to be out of control behavior of our world, and the more you watch it on the news, the more you get worked up and wring your hands, I want you to remember, like I should have tonight, Psalm 37:10. We'll read it again. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. Now I want to talk for a moment about the little while of Jesus' first and second coming. Someone said to me, and for this I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. Someone said to me, God sent Jesus to the earth. He should have stayed. It would have been better. But that's a misunderstanding of why the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, our King, our Lord, he had to come once, but he comes again. There's a little while in between the coming of Jesus the first time and the second. Did you know that? We've talked about it, the days of grace. We're in this little while. But we read these amazing words, Hebrews 2, 7. Let me go back up and read. For he did not subject to the angels the world to come, but one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you're concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. That was the incarnation. That's the coming of Jesus. That's our celebration at Christmas. And now notice, you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now he's in this great prophecy. We see that not only did he come for a little while, subjecting himself to all that we go through, tempted in every point like us for a little while, dying on the cross and then raised from the dead, crowned with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. And then in verse 9, but we do not see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You see, that's what Jesus was talking about in John 16. Disciples, I love you, but in a little while I'm going to be gone. And then in a little while you're going to see me. He was talking about the resurrection. They would see him again. And then, of course, speaking to them about the glorious privilege of seeing him in heaven. You see, for a little while, Jesus our Lord lived and then he died on the cross. For a little while, Jesus our Lord rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. For a little while, Jesus our Lord rose and appeared to the disciples until he ascended to heaven. These are all the verses tied into John 16. And in a little while, Jesus will come again to remove our suffering completely. Let me read to you Hebrews 10:37. It's another good verse for you to meditate on. For you have need of endurance. These are the words to Pastor Mike. There are probably some words for somebody else tonight. I'm reading Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, look at the scripture, a very little while, not just a little while, a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Jesus will come again in a very little while. And the world says, Jesus hadn't come for a long time. No, it's a little while. It's all in your perspective. So as we conclude tonight, life is just for a little while. We are a vapor. We appear for a little while. We appear for a little while, and then we vanish away. You know, knowing that as people of God, there's only one thing that lasts: sharing the gospel, planting the seeds of the gospel. Like we talked about last time, the seed bag on one hand and the harvester in the other hand. That's what we do here. We plant, we water, and we harvest. We share the gospel. We will be gone. We will be gone. Now for a little while we suffer troubles. So we learn to walk with Jesus in our trouble. This is our challenge. We learn to pray. We learn what Paul meant. Did Paul ever go through any trouble? Can anybody help me? Did the man ever have any problems? Yeah, all the time. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So what do we say to our dear friend that we pray for, Lisa Baker, 30 years old, and her husband's 32 years old, murdered, doing his job as a deputy sheriff? We have to say to her, you must learn to give thanks in all things. What do we say to our dear people who have a child born with some kind of struggle? What do we say to our people in all kinds of troubles? We must learn to give thanks in all things. We live for a little while and suffer trouble, but the Lord is with us in our pain and our trouble. We learn to walk in our trouble with the Lord. Now, for a little while, troubles are necessary. They test our faith. But here's what I want to end by saying to you, and I hope you'll remember this. It's not as good as the Word of God, but it's something that I hang on. I really believe this with all my heart. I believe that after all is said and done, we come to be with the Lord. I believe that soon, when it's all done and we're with the Lord, soon we will see that everything in our life except for sin, has been just perfectly made for us, for you. Soon you'll see that everything in the little whiles in your life, except for sin, has been for your good. And all crown bearers, remember this, were once cross bearers. Nobody is an exemption. So may the Lord give us wisdom to learn how to live in the little while. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for these wonderful, precious, precious verses. As I have asked you to forgive me, I pray for my dear friends who are here tonight that you would forgive us when we have presumed upon time, the time you give us. When we have forgotten to count and number our days so that we might fear you. I pray for my young friends who are here who think they have all the time in the world. And I pray for my old friends who are here today who think that they have all the time in the world. May we see that we do not know what tomorrow brings. And then in our vaporous life, help us to do the most important thing, the thing that lasts. Share the gospel with others, make disciples, plant churches, and do the work that you've called us to do in the midst of deep pain, because the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and power to do it. We rely upon you. We love you. Thank you for the fellowship we've had in your word tonight.